Sound point two.
Town chartered in 1608 by King James I.
In Bridge Street, outside the town hall, was once called the Cow Fair, where cattle sales took place. In 1854, the Victorian town hall was built on the site of an old refuse pit. It is Banbury's fourth town hall, the three previous being in the marketplace area. In the 1940s and 50s, the Midland Red Bus Company operated local buses from the front of the town hall. Buses then had conductors who would call out the various stops. One, Horace Newman, had a very distinctive voice and a wry sense of humour. At that time, the aluminium factory was Banbury's largest employer. His call here was, "Anyone for the rest home? Anyone for the rest home?" A road near the park was called Paradise. "Paradise? Paradise? Any of you ladies for Paradise?" he would call out.
With the town hall on my left, I'm looking to my right at a building which I believe was built about 1930 by Goodways, a rectangular three-floor building faced in a kind of cream tiles. In 1950, I started work there for the Midlands Electricity Board. I got taken on by the MEB as a cost clerk. The ground floor was where all the demonstrators were. If a lady went in to buy a cooker or a refrigerator or anything like that, these ladies used to demonstrate it, and they'd often be cooking in the windows. My office was in the second floor up where we clerks worked, and wasn't a great deal of work done in Banbury Fair time. It just happened to be level with the cars that the Octopus, as it was called, these cars would come up, and you'd be looking directly about 5 feet away at some girls waving at you through the windows.
Looking towards the town hall, it brings back memories. I suppose I would have been just about 16. My mum had a cafe, and we'd heard the some of the soldiers saying all day about these town hall dances. I would bike into Banbury. The dances were usually from 8 till 11. There was no trouble for partners because there was plenty of servicemen at that time. The music was mostly records. Well, the top bands, we had Victor Sylvester, slow, quick, slow for the foxtrot. We weren't jitterbugging at that time because there weren't any Americans. And we liked to have a circular skirt if you could, because that would flare out when you spun round. At the interval, there would be sausage rolls and powdered lemonade or coffee. And it was a lovely, big, smooth floor, you know, it would really glide around until it got crowded. But they didn't allow anybody in after 10 o'clock, so there was never really any trouble. I think it was 1 and 6. But if occasionally they had a band and they had Ken Brewer or somebody, then it would be 2 shillings. There was no sort of one-night stands or anything. Now the soldiers had to get the bus back. After the war, I went for a while, and then I found myself a fella that didn't dance, so that was the end of that.
The white-fronted building got advertising, horticultural seeds and corn. That was lampreys. Used to go in there regularly when I first had my allotment. I was about 18 then. That's where my mother's cousin worked. What was so nice about it, the seeds was all in sacks. You could get your broad beans, your green Windsors, your white Windsors, peas early onward, potatoes. You could get them by the pint, but the smell in there was lovely. All, everything was combined. There was chicken feed in there and pigeon feed and grass seed. It all added to the smell of the shop.
Standing opposite the building with all the writing on, that window next to there is where Hood's, the front of the shop, was. And it was like an Aladdin's cave. The official title of the company was Hood's the Banbury Ironmongers, and you could literally buy anything in there related to ironmongery. When I was at the tech college, I just went in and asked if they'd got any jobs, and they said, oh yes, you can come and work during the holidays. Frank Bayliss was the manager, and there was an elderly lady who I think was the mother-in-law of the shop's owner at that time, or the boss man, whose name was Ken Jakeman. One day in the tea room, she washed out the tea urn with Domestos, which gave a great deal of mirth to everybody. But it was just one of these places where everybody in Banbury knew Hood's, and if you wanted something, no matter how big or small, they would get it for you. And it was a thriving business.
I came to Banbury in 1962 as a young police constable, the age of 20. Banbury was very, very different then, not so built up. There were very old buildings. Behind you immediately is a walkway called Malthouse Walk, so named because that area was indeed Hunt Edmunds Brewery. It was a large site. Look to your right-hand side down towards the traffic lights. You will see a black and white beamed building, which is the Crown Hotel. Just to the right-hand side of it was an entrance to Hunt Edmunds Brewery. I believe it had a sort of an arch gateway. When I first came here, I noticed straight away the smells of, I suppose it must have been malt and strange things like that. My first recollection was on a Sunday morning walking down there, and a little door opened and a man appeared who was obviously the night watchman. In the inevitable psst, I thought, what's he want? He said, good morning, officer. I said, oh, good morning, sir. He said, would you like a small glass of beer? I thought, well, I mean, I mustn't offend the poor fellow, must I? So that was my first introduction to the beer here. They had a very tall chimney, and I think it was 1978. It was demolished. So I was actually there on duty. It was quite spectacular. No stray bricks anywhere. It just came down one great big drop, really. Behind here from Malthouse Walk on the right-hand side, and that was an absolute labyrinth of little alleyways and gas lamps. And I hear people talk about it, I think, I'm not imagining it, and I wasn't. It really was like that. I couldn't believe it. Absolutely amazing.